It's Triple M Breakfast.
Another day is underway.
Live from just around the corner, this is Lee Faulkner.
Yeah, and this is our podcast catch-up, which we do every Wednesday, and it gives you the opportunity to then catch up on some of those things you might have wanted to listen to again, or some of the things that you may have missed. And then sometimes we put in things that haven't quite made it to air, like my full chat with people that we have on the show. Now, coming up in this week's edition, we'll catch up with Federal Member for Groom, Garth Hamilton, who is very concerned about the amount of people that are coming into our nation at the moment, given the housing crisis and other dramas that we have so far. In fact, you might be staggered at the current statistics. Shane Sullivan, CEO of the Western Clydesdales, joins us to explain the split with the Canterbury Bulldogs and what that means going forward. We'll hear from Damon Phillips, CEO of the Show Society at the Toowoomba Show. Big weekend this weekend here with the show. Jen Shaw from Emerge joined us following that horrendous situation, that terrible, terrible tragedy in Sydney, in the Bondi Junction shopping centre there. And Jen has worked with many, many people in our part of the world who have been in a similar situation to the young man who perpetrated that horrible crime. And she had some incredibly good things to say about what we need to do to try to avoid situations like that down the track. I will get the smelly boot for you so you can have a look back at our tips from last round and have a bit of a laugh with us there. And as well as that, topical topics. We never shy away from those. Big thanks to Lily's Artisan. And this time we're joined by a couple of well-known locals and very popular on this show as well, who tackled a couple of big topics. We'll kick off with that right now.
Did you hear about...
I'm not sure I agree.
864 Triple M's Topical Topics.
You can't say that.
Thanks to Lily's Artisan.
And as always, we've got a couple of topical topics that we will cover off on. And as always, we've got a couple of guests that we welcome in to the studio to help us do that. And joining us is Megan O'Hara Sullivan, a long-time contributor to this segment. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Free of the shackles of council.
Yes, I'm a free woman.
Absolutely.
I'm working on becoming an influencer. That's my new job.
I love that. And someone who is the handler of one of the biggest influencers in this region, Sunny the Dog. Oh my God, how much I look forward to those stories. And Sonny was so excited to see his best friend the other day. That was one of the best ever. Former producer Meryl Miller, good morning.
G'day, Lee. I've left him at home alone.
Oh, no.
The house is going to be trash when
I
get home.
Oh, no. I look forward to the videos or the photos where he'll be wearing some of your clothing then that he's ripped up later on. That is magnificent. Love it. Now, we've got a couple of topics we're going to cover here. One of them, an interesting dating scenario. We'll talk about that very soon. I think it's a bit of fun. But the first one, though, I must admit, you know, everyone to their own, everyone does them. I'm all for that. And I love hearing a story in this day and age about a stay-at-home mum, if you're able to do that. Absolutely fantastic if you can. My mum was a stay-at-home mum until I was about 10 or 11. But there's a part of this story which sort of hark back a little bit to those days and why a few people have got upset. Because while this young woman, Montana, is telling everybody on her social media accounts about how she stays at home, looks after the kids and so forth, she also kept mentioning the fact that she doesn't feel guilty about asking her husband for money. Why should she in the first place? One of my favourite parts of it is it took my husband a few years to get to a place where he viewed his income as ours, but we're there now. I thought that was quite funny. But wow. I mean, Meryl, you know, like I say, this reminds me of the 1970s, my mum getting $30 a week housekeeping to look after the... And if that money had gone, my father would have questions as to why and why do you need more? You know, part of the reason that they divorced in the 1980s and why a lot of that has long since gone. This is harking back to a bit of that,
really,
isn't it?
It really is. I looked at this topic and it made me feel so old school. I went, okay, that's it. I'm an old lady shaking my fist at the clouds
me
now
too.
Because I'm going, don't you get married and just share your stuff?
Well, that's
and
what I thought.
It's like I was a stay-at-home mum for quite a number of years as well. Did I ever ask for money? No. I assumed what was there, as long as I wasn't blowing it at the pokies, was absolutely fine. Where does this woman get the chance to say to her husband, oh, these old shoes, no, I've had them for years, you know? I absolutely honed honed my lying skills on the fact that, you know.
This old thing.
Oh, you've just never seen it, that's all. So, no, it's done my head in. This whole story has done my head in.
Mm. And it's really divided the place, Megan, as far as online commentary is concerned. As I say, a lot of people, including me, saying, well, good on you. It's great that you're thinking along this line. You want to be at home with your kids. And that's just wonderful. If you can pull it off in this day and age, you're doing very well. But it does really, it's these comments around not feeling guilty. I mean, should anybody in a relationship feel guilty about asking the other person for anything, whether it's money or affection or whatever it might be? I mean, realistically, yeah. Should that be the case? And that's the other thing, you know, is he feeling guilty about asking for intimacy or affection or her looking after the house and the kids and so forth? I bet he's not on social media going, and I don't even feel guilty when I tell her that she needs to clean the house more or whatever. I mean, are we really, this sounds very old-fashioned.
Well, look, I have a completely different take on this because my husband and I have never had a joint account. We've got a joint debt. We had a joint debt, but we never had a joint account. So when our kids were younger, as you know, we've got 5 sons. So we had one job, we job shared, and he would go to work one day and I'd go to work the other day. And I had, we had a business and the money was all coming into him. So I literally had no money and had to ask him for money. And I can remember him like handing over $20 and me looking at it and thinking, oh my God, what has my life come to that I have to ask my husband for money? So I felt her sort of shame or her, you know, angst about having to ask for money. So, I think, and I did think about all the women who've got the escape account, you know,
they
a little bit on the side somewhere. But anyway, I mean, it seems to have worked all right for Dean and I that we've never had joint accounts. So we've never had that sort of, I guess, guilt about you spend your money on what you're spending it on. I hope not blowing it all on the horses, but, I don't think that I need to sort of justify, but I did have to ask him for money.
Wow. It's interesting because a lot of women seem to justify maintaining separate accounts in case things go wrong, which is a very weird sort of point of view to go into marriage with, I feel. But if things go wrong, isn't that what our divorce courts are for, to settle it so that everyone gets what they're entitled to? Do you need to have a stash fund that this is my, I'm getting out of here
I think
money?
In the old days, say like when Lee's mother, you know, when she got an allowance from her husband, people did have that account. I think ours have just, we've never got around to having a joint account. So
it's just been what it is.
Yeah.
And there was a business there too, which may sort of change a little bit. Well, there you go. Okay. Interesting.
Meryl's looking at me like I've got 2 heads.
You still don't have a joint account.
It's 8:17. More topical topics coming up with our guest Meryl Miller, Megan O'Hara Sullivan. This is our second little topic that we're looking at here. Look, I don't know. Is it a bit of fun? Or is it only a bit of fun if it is done in this particular way? We've got an attractive young woman who was looking for a partner. So she decided she was going to cut to the chase. She made herself a stamp, which has on it, if you're single, give me a call or contact me and put some contact details on it. And then she would walk around the bar where she was. She'd find an attractive bloke, take his hand, stamp it. Now, I don't know. Man, I'm just thinking if I did that down at Fitzy's, I just would love to see the reaction on social media. This dirty old bugger's going around stamping women's hands like they're his goddamn property. But some people thought it was cute because she's a woman. Megan, is this a very one-sided thing, this? Could it only work if it happens to be an attractive female doing it?
Oh, well, I'm probably going to get into trouble a bit with this one as well. But did you see what her name is? It's Contact Me. You're cute. I'm cute. Mm-hmm. Why don't you hit me up sometime? Mm-hmm. And her Instagram account is called Mess Name Michelle. Now, would you contact someone who was called Mess Name Michelle? Anyway, my thought immediately when I heard about it was all those sweaty guys, you know, and they're losing the number or losing the address. And they're like, oh, no, you know.
What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's smudged.
Yeah.
And they're writing like, you know.
I didn't find it overly
Mess
offensive.
Michael.
I thought it was okay. I thought it's a novel way to meet people. And I know that there's the double standard if it was a man. I didn't know that I'd be so offended if it was a man either.
Okay. So there you go. So you're at Fitzy's Friday night. Bloke comes up, stamps your hand. You're okay.
Your single Mess Name Michelle. Long as you, I'll get in touch.
Just remember to wash that stamp off before you go home.
As long as you don't have to ask him for money. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Former producer Meryl. I can only imagine what you're going to say about this part of the reason I picked this topic.
This is just the most stupid thing I've ever heard. Like, there are plenty of men over the years I've sort of gone, yeah, you know, bit of all right, yeah. Bit of eye candy.
Yeah.
Okay, if I've got a stamp, I go up and stamp his hand. He comes over and have a chat to me. Within 5 minutes, you can bet he's opened his mouth and said he's a Trump supporter or he's a coriander farmer, you know? And you go, yeah, this is the thing. It's not about how someone looks, right? This is a disaster.
Isn't that what all the swiping? That's all about the looks.
Dear,
you know, that's
dear.
Totally about the looks.
Yeah, it's wrong, right?
But nobody knows though. There, like they just put their photo up, and then you're just swiping on the thing, and they don't know whether you swiped them or whatever, and then you contact them and that sort of stuff. Where there's bloke standing at the bar four deep, she comes along and she goes, "Oh, I'll stamp your hand." The other blokes are going, "Hey, what's going on?" It's like real life swiping left and right. Mm. It's like contacting the bloke on Tinder and saying, "Yeah, I think you're really ugly. I'm going to swipe left now. I think you're really ugly. I'm going to swipe left now." You were like, that's what we did. You don't hurt like you. She's out there, like really singling them out amongst their friends, and leaving the other blokes going, "So what happened to me?
Hey,
what's going
Michelle,
on?"
I think Messy Michelle is setting herself up for a lot of trouble. It seems to me, and to take this onto a more serious note, it seems to me that just by letting a guy buy you a drink,
yep.
you're almost giving consent. You're sort of saying you're inviting this in, right?
And
you're saying,
"Well,
you asked for it, you know." You've stamped his hand and you said, "Hit me up," because it actually says, "Hit
property.
Me up." I'm sorry. I think this is asking for big trouble.
Okay. 24 past 8. That is our topical topics. Big thanks to Lily's Artisan and always a big thank you to our guests, Megan O'Hara Sullivan and former producer Meryl Miller. Thank you.
Ya. Lee, I'm going to do a little bit of cross promotion for you because, as you know, Meryl, I have a podcast called Big Little Small Talk, and I interviewed Lee last week, and his podcast will be on the airwaves, as they say, at the end of the week. And it was very revealing and very heartfelt, Lee, your interview. So thank you very much for doing that for me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And I know you got some inside information from somebody.
I don't know who that would be.
No.
I got nothing on you, my friend.
Absolutely.
Brilliant goal. Your favourite footy tipsters are back. The Smelly Boot on the Darling Downs Triple M.
Well, I'll give you the whisper. We'd be no favourite to the Sydney, Newcastle Knights fans, I should say. But probably the Sydney Roosters fans, all three of us on the Knights last night, and look what we did to them. Very good morning to our tipsters. Gov, g'day, mate.
Good morning, guys. How are we going?
Good. And Paul Solid Reedy, K&R Plumbing Supplies, Western Clydesdales. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you? It wasn't a bad game of football last night, actually. You know, a little bit interesting, but geez, the refs have got a lot to answer for, haven't they?
Well, I think there's a bit of that discussion around that, but I'd imagine a few people saying the same thing about us this morning too, after all, after tipping them. Well, let's see what we can do here, because this will be an interesting one, Gov, that we start with. Tonight's first game is 6 o'clock. Amy Park, it's a home game for the Melbourne Storm, who come in at Winx odds. $6.40 about the Canterbury Bulldogs, if you like that. We'll get to Solid in a moment, who has an association there. Gov, who you think going to get this one?
Yeah, look, Stars. The Storm have got all their stars back and they're all firing at home. They'll be too good for the Dogs.
I'm on the Storm as well. Solid, where are you going?
Yeah, no, I'll go with you, fellas. I'll go with the Storm, you know, peer group pressure. Follow the team. They played pretty good against the Broncos last week. The Bulldogs are good too against the Roosters, but I'll go with the Storm.
Wow. I mean, I must admit, after the way the Bulldogs played last week, I thought they'd get a bit kinder with the betting, but it doesn't seem to be the case. Then, Suncorp Stadium, 8 o'clock tonight. What a game. Broncos and Dolphins. The talk is that we're going to see Reece Walsh back out on the field. So, it'll be interesting. Is he ready to come back? I'm probably leaning towards the Broncos with him back. Solid, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I see Flagler's now out for the Dolphins, along with Herbie Farnworth and Felice Kaufusi are all out. So I think that's going to weaken them a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Broncos to get up just.
All right, Gov. We put the curse on the Storm. Are we doing it to the Broncos?
Well, I think we're probably going to have to. It's a great local derby. As Solid said, three Dolphins out. Without Reynolds last week, Bronx nearly rolled the Storm, so that's got to be good for them for a win in this one.
Fantastic. Just getting the message through from Wayne Bennett. Thank you very much, boys. No worries at all, Mr. Wayne Bennett. We'll look after your team. Go Media Stadium. The Warriors take on the Manly Sea Eagles. Boy, the Warriors going great guns at home. Ooh, it's hard to go against them, Gov. What do you reckon?
Yeah, gee, I can't wait to see this one. This is going to be an absolute cracker, this game. Last week, Manly trounced the Panthers. and the Warriors smash the Rabbits. Cracking game in Auckland. I think if they can get the huge Waz crowd behind them, they might just get home in this one. But yeah, tough one.
I agree with that. Home crowd just to get them over the line in a close one. Solid?
Yeah, I think so. The Seagulls have got to do all the travelling there. The Warriors will be looking forward to hosting them, and I think they'll be too good, the Warriors.
Grief, we're three from three. Okay, then we move to the game of the round, CommBank Stadium, 5:30 tomorrow afternoon. It's the Parramatta Eels up against the North Queensland Cowboys. I'll come to Solid in a moment. So, Gov, start us off.
Yeah, look, the Cowboys just did enough last week to beat the Titans and the Eels. Well, they got Vikinged at GAA Stadium by the Raiders, so I think the Cowboys are in a tough one.
Good man. Solid? Are we going to put the curse on the North Queensland Cowboys?
No, you know me. I'm solid. I always stick with the Eels. So I'm going to stick with the Eels to upset the Cowboys. I just can't tip the Cowboys. They weren't very impressive last week, even though we were terrible. But I'm going to go with us back at home and turn our season around. Go the Eels.
I think we're going to have trouble beating time with a stick, if you ask me. But anyway, that'll do me. Well, I'm solid number two. So if you're going with the Eels, I'll stick with them too. I'll go the Eels.
Good on you, mate.
I'll tip the boys. I'm not confident, though. I'll say that. I'm not confident. More. Coming up, we've got some great games to talk about, including the Canberra Raiders and the Gold Coast. Well, okay. Including the West Tigers. And anyway, we've got some more rugby league next. We go to a Core Stadium, 7:35 tomorrow night. South Sydney Rabbitohs, Cronulla Sharks. The Rabbitohs are desperate for a win. Solid, will they get it this weekend?
Yeah, no, I don't know. They've dropped Damien Cook, which I think is wrong. Latrell Mitchell's out. Not that he's playing great football for the whole 80 minutes, but what he does do is pretty good. They might shake him up a little bit, but I think the Sharks, they're ready to go. They'll be too good for the Rabbits.
They're playing some good footy, the Sharks. So how do you feel about it, Gov?
Yeah, look, I agree with Solid. Cook out's a big out for them. The Sharks, after being rested up with the bye last week, should stand them in good stead to get the top of the Rabbits.
Yeah, I'm over the on the Sharks as well. You just can't tip the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They'll win eventually, but you can't tip them. I tell you another team I can't tip, Solid. I don't know about you, but the West Tigers. I can't tip the Tigers. So I'm on the Dragons 100%. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm going to go the Dragons too. I think that's a great opportunity for us to put the curse on them. And Gov's got one choice, to either go with the curse and or tip the Tigers. I can't wait to hear Gov.
Well, it's been about a decade and a half and he's never tipped against them. So let's see what happens here, Gov.
I feel your pain, Butcher. I feel your pain. Yeah, look, the Tigers, they're looking to crack the top eight by beating the Dragons this week, but the Dragons ran into the Knights up there on a really wet track. On a dry track, they get a chance to bounce back in this one.
That'll do me. Then GIO Stadium for the final game of the round, Raiders and Gold Coast Titans. The Butcher is, I think, on the coast at the moment, celebrating the wedding anniversary. And he's gloating from last weekend. They go in roaring favourites against the struggling Gold Coast Titans side. Life's good for a Raiders fan at the moment, Solid.
Yeah, I'm glad to see he's celebrating. I'm not sure if his darling wife is celebrating the same anniversary, but anyway, I'm going to go
suffering,
with the Raiders.
I think they not played, celebrating.
Yeah, they played great footy last weekend where they beat, you know, one of the powerhouses of the competition
it's
in the year. So I'm
going
to go with
them.
The Raiders.
Okay, two Raiders here. Gov, the Raiders or the Titans?
Yeah, well, look, I spoke to the Butcher's wife during the week and she said 14 years of bliss. They've had every week they've had six good days and one bad day. I think the Raiders can win this one, so good luck on the coast and go the Green Machine.
Green Machine all round there, you beauty. That is the Smelly Boot. Enjoy the rugby league, boys.
Cheers, folks.
Well, we have spoken to this amazing lady many, many times. The work that she and her team with Emerge Cafe and facilities around that did in our Garden City has been amazing and continues to do that incredible work on the Sunshine Coast. And Jen Shaw joins me for breakfast this morning. G'day, Jen.
Good morning, Lee.
I know when you first started Emerge, because I knew you and your hubby Mick before all of that, that this came out of you seeing that there was a real need for facilities, for services, for people that you know, we use the expression fall through the cracks when it comes to mental health, drugs and so forth. Very much the case of the scenario of this young fella who obviously grew up, was educated here in Toowoomba and has ended up in this most horrendous of scenarios. And unfortunately, despite the work that you and many others have done, it's a scenario that still faces us very much the same today, yes?
Absolutely, yeah. I you know, we see hundreds of kids every year that are falling through the cracks, everywhere from young as 11 through to, you know, 25, and there is just not enough for everybody.
One of the things here is, you know, really glaring, because we quite often we get, you know, fired up about crime, youth crime, young people, whatever it is, doing things. And we, you know, we talk about the punishment and that end of the scale. But when you see something like this bloke, and what we now know is that only not that long ago, only a few years ago, moved out of Queensland down to Brisbane, then out of this area down to Brisbane, then to New South Wales. But prior to this, had really had no issue with police. So this is one of those scenarios that has just boiled over for so long without this person having the right access, perhaps, to facilities, treatment, so forth. And this has come, as I say, in a lot of ways, out of nowhere.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's really just a reminder something so tragic has happened, you know, with people doing everyday things, you know. And we're the same in our town, you know. We have, you know, the big shopping centre in the middle of town, and yes, we visually see some crime on the streets, and we're seeing it on the social media, but there's people suffering everywhere who are getting left behind. And we see it with young people. We're fielding calls, you know, up to 50 calls a week for parents screaming out for help with their kids. We're not talking about, you know, someone who appears to look like the traditional criminal or drug addict. We're talking about everyday kids.
Yes.
Who are going to top schools in Toowoomba, and their parents are struggling to find support services. So if people who are, you know, got good families and plenty of money are struggling to find that support, how do the rest of our community tap into those resources?
That is exactly right. And it is just mind-boggling. And I suppose it comes back to making sure that when we have services like Emerge Cafe, like yours and others in this part of the world, that they have access to significant funding and the ability to do what they need to do on the ground.
Absolutely. You know, we've done some tough years in Toowoomba. Our community has always been just incredibly amazing, backing our work, because we are a 24/7 wraparound support service. You know, we don't just do one thing, we do everything. We really approach the young person where they're at in life and build them up. You know, it doesn't matter what's happened, we just build on throwing positive stuff in front of them. But we've never been government funded. Which is good in a way, because we get to do things a little bit different. But I think, you know, there's not just Emerge, there's so many amazing services in Toowoomba and around the country who are finding other means of funding. And I think we got to really support these doers in the community who are really trying their best to wrap around kids, but also adults who are struggling. You know, mental health is a massive one. Like, the wait lists are long. People are killing themselves before they're even getting in touch with some support. So these people on the ground that are just wrapping around and loving people back to life, God, they need backing.
Absolutely. And I know you say there, sometimes it might be a good thing not to have the government involved, because that way you're able to do. But, I mean, it's time for them to step up at a government level, at all levels of government, and then allow you to do what you need to do with the experience that you've got, but still providing that funding that is just so important.
Absolutely. You know, I think the first 5 years for Emerge, it was trying to prove what we're doing works. And now we're here, we're still here. We've got amazing outcomes. You know, we've got kids that are serving our country in the military. They're buying houses. They're living absolutely beautiful lives on their terms. We already know what we do works. It's just time for other people to get behind us.
Absolutely. Jen Shaw, thank you for what you and your family and your team do for our community. And we really do appreciate it. And thank you, as always, for your time this morning.
Thank you, Lee.
It's showtime in our part of the world, and happening this Thursday, Friday and Saturday, it's the Heritage Bank Toowoomba Royal Show. Three massive days, but it's not going to cost you massive dollars. I caught up with the CEO, Damon Phillips, and a lot of people surprised. Ticket prices remain the same as last year. The value that you get on things that you can do for absolutely no extra charge once you're inside is extraordinary.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we've worked out there's over 100 things you can see and do that you don't have to pay any more when you come here. And, you know, the price of your admittance ticket is small compared to the value that you get from it, you know, from things like the monster truck show at night to the, you know, the jet ski show or the circus. It's, you know, you'd be paying a $30 or more price just to see one of those things, and here you get to see that with hundreds of other things that are included in the ticket price.
Exactly. I know last Friday you mentioned the, you know, Ashton Circus and Globeriders. So you'd be paying the same just for a ticket to go to one of those. That's included, the experience in your ticket there, along with Bluey, Coco Melon, pig racing and all of these wonderful things, as well as all the sights and sounds of a traditional regional show.
Yeah, so lots of entertainment, as you said, Coco Melon for the first time. Dinosaur Adventure Park, we're getting a lot feedback about that. Farmer Dave Graham's just arrived, and he's setting up his pool at the moment for dock dogs, and, of course, he's in the arena at night time. But then all the traditional things you see and do at the show, you know, particularly the circus, the animal nursery, you know, is the most popular part of the show, and there's hundreds of animals down there. In the poultry pavilion, you can go and pat a chicken, and that's one really unique thing about an agricultural show that you can't do at any other event, is get, you know, up and close, personal to animals, you know, and enjoy those great family experiences and memories that you can't get anywhere else.
Well, I know you were saying too last Friday that, you know, a lot of cases with a lot of these animals that you have there, there's nowhere else anymore, that a lot of the regional shows and even the big shows, the city shows, have not had these animals any longer as part of their attractions, and yet they continue to be a big part of our wonderful show.
It certainly is, and we're very proud of that, and the whole committee and our volunteers are really proud of that tradition, and we are the oldest show in Queensland. We've been going for over 160 years, and it's always been based on that competition and agricultural excellence and educating young people about where their food and fibre comes from. But to have such a vast array of animals on show, and as you said, a lot of them, you know, alpacas, for instance, I think it's the only show in Queensland now where you can actually show alpacas, or people can come and see them. And, you know, it's a unique experience that you can't get anywhere else, to walk through one shed for alpacas, and then you're up looking at the sheep or the goats, the miniature goats, and then you're down to all the poultry and the hundreds and hundreds of birds that are down there. And that's not even before you get over to the big showing of the beef, dairy cattle, and, of course, the ring events, and, you know, 2,500 entries just in the horses. So, wow. You know, great opportunity for families to see new things and experience a traditional show.
It is wonderful. Go to the website, because all the details are there, toowoombashow.com.au, and people can buy tickets online there as well and save even more.
Yeah, so that's the best way to do it. You know, you save up to 30% if you buy online, get your tickets early. Toowoomba people notoriously wait till the end, last minute, to see what the weather's doing. The weather is going to be a cracker.
It is. So I'm looking at it now. It is.
It's going to be fantastic. I did predict this 2 months ago.
You did.
It's going to be fine, 24 degrees, beautiful. So really looking forward to a cracking show.
Well, they'll be calling him Damien Regardo, because he's Damon Regardo, because he's absolutely spot on. Mate, well done. Another fantastic lineup coming up there at the Heritage Bank Toowoomba Royal Show. Go online and get those tickets and save even more money, and get out and support it. Damon, thank you as always, mate. Really appreciate your time.
Good on you, Lee. Thanks very much, mate.
Well, interesting news surrounding our Western Clydesdales Host Plus Cup teams. This is because we are being informed that the association with the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs is set to come to an end at the end of this coming financial year. Shane Sullivan is the CEO, and he joins us to have a little chat about this. Good morning to you, mate.
Morning, Lee.
Another twist in the wonderful history and the great story that is the Western Clydesdales. But you see this one as a positive one moving forward, despite it coming to an end about 12 months sooner than probably was expected?
Yeah, that's right. Certainly a positive aspect. Our relationship with the Bulldogs has been a very good one, a very strong one, and one that we very much appreciate. From both sides, though, we're both going through a lot of changes and growth, and we thought this was the right time for both of us to walk away and have a look at our own businesses and see how we can move forward.
Obviously, you know, prior to you coming back into the Host Plus Cup last year, there was a lot of involvement by the Bulldogs. We saw Phil Gould coming up and they brought players up, ex-players for luncheons and so forth and getting out into the community. Was there disappointment, though, that you hadn't had an opportunity to have NRL players in your Western Clydesdales team?
Yeah, look, that's certainly a big aspect of what we're looking for moving forward. We knew with our deal with Canterbury that we weren't getting those players, and Canterbury were instrumental in us getting into the competition in the first place. And it's now time that we need to move on and find that next partner. I guess what we don't want to do now is lose that momentum that we've been building. Yeah. And we've done a lot of work in Southwest Queensland and with the assistance of the Bulldogs. So we'll make sure that that continues. And we're actively in negotiations with new partners as we speak.
Obviously, a tough start to the season so far, as far as the men's team is concerned, and we'll get to the women's just a quick second. You know, when that is the scenario, that there's not a lot of wins on the board, it makes it difficult when it comes to recruitment and moving forward, yeah?
Yeah, it certainly does, and that's part of what we're looking at with the new affiliation with an NRL club is the ability to help us with our recruitment and to help develop those local players that we've got here. So providing them with opportunities and our coaches with opportunities to do pre-seasons and to work with the NRL coaches. And the tyranny of distance, unfortunately, with Canterbury was a big part of it, that we couldn't always get what we needed out of that relationship. But by no means was it a bad relationship.
Okay. So the ideal scenario would be to align with the Queensland club?
Ideally, that's what we'd love. That makes perfect sense to us. And if we could just rush forward and the Brisbane Tigers get a NRL entry, that would be fantastic. But somehow I don't think Peter Volandis is going to say yes right now just for us. But look, Queensland would be fantastic. We're not ruling anything out. Certainly somewhere like Canberra, there's easy access to Toowoomba from Canberra, so they might be an option for us. North Queensland, again, tyranny of distance, but we won't say no to that one either.
All right. And as I mentioned, the BMD side, it's just been fantastic. What are the names that you've attracted there? And it's been a thrill to watch them too.
Yeah, it's been really good for the club to have that quality of a player willing to come and play for us. And look, they've certainly raised the standard within our group, and the local girls are loving to play with them as well. Results haven't been there the last couple of weeks, and certainly we're not making any excuses for that. We've come up with some tough opposition, but we'll get better. We'll continue to learn and grow out of that. And those experienced players will step up and help us do that.
Okay. Bye this weekend for the Host Plus Cup?
Host Plus Cup, we've got a bye.
And then back again the following weekend.
They do, yeah. Wonderful. So,
all right. Well, we'll keep you up to date with home games and get you the opportunity to score some tickets and so forth to keep supporting this wonderful historic club that we have here, the Western Clydesdales, and, of course, the BMD Premiership side as well. Shane Sullivan, CEO, thank you so much for popping in and explaining all of that for us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Lee.
Garth Hamilton, good morning.
Morning, Lee.
Okay, we've got a few things to cover off. We'll get to some serious business in just a moment, but I just need to know what's going on here. Now, I'm with you. You cannot go to Oakey without going to Great Country Pies in Oakey. I'm 100% with you.
Best pies in Australia. 100%.
I'm 100% around a pie there at the Great Country Pies in Oakey. You took along one of your compatriots. Kevin Hogan MP was here. I don't get it. I don't get it, Garth Hamilton. He's got the classic pie, the beef pie with the mushy pea. It's beautiful, crispy pastry, and he is massacring it with a knife and fork. What happened there?
Look, I've got to start by saying he's a great man. He's a brilliant politician. He looks after people. He's got a heart as big as Farlap, one of the best blokes you could meet.
Doesn't know how to eat a meat pie.
Knife and fork for a pie, dead set.
Does he eat a pizza like that too,
mate,
does he?
I want to see how he eats a Mars bar at this point, you know. But hey, look, he's from New South Wales. Maybe they do things differently. You didn't call it mushy peas, it was mushy peas.
Yeah, mushy peas.
Mushy peas, with a knife and fork.
Okay.
I just want to apologise to the people of Oakey, you know. When it, One of your pies has been massacred by a New South Welshman. He's a great bloke. I'll bring him back up here, and I'll make sure he does it properly in the future.
Please do. Please do. Next time,
get the big, running get the big down the arm.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. You can be a little messy. It's a pie. And a great pie,
oh,
too.
Hoax. I'm sorry, mate.
Look, we do have to talk about something more pressing at the moment because, you know, we're always, this country, built on immigration. We know that.
Absolutely.
My grandparents, many of us, 100% wasn't for it, we wouldn't be here. But we have to be sensible about it. And at the moment, we can't house the people that we already have here. We have scenarios around infrastructure on our roads, our water. I mean, look at the report on the Bruce Highway today, the front page of the Courier Mail. Yes. It's a disgrace. And there's no doubt that it's a disgrace. And it's been a disgrace for a long time. The immigration level that has gone from 162,000 people per year to 100,000 a month seems an extraordinary jump. I know that there was some time there, a couple of years, we missed out on immigration with COVID, and I understand that we need skilled labourers. But how many do we need, and how are we going to house all of these people if we keep having them come in at this rate?
Yeah, look, Lee, isn't this the question of our times? You know, young kids out there looking to buy a home, we want you to buy a home. That's the message that both sides of Parliament will tell you. Everyone wants to see you in a home having that great Australian dream. But we've got to be honest with ourselves. When we're bringing in so many people, it's only going to drive demand. And it pushes the prices of houses up. And what we've got to be clear, this isn't the immigrants' fault. We can't blame them. This is about, you know, trying to demonise a section of society.
No.
This is going to the government saying, dead set, guys, 100,000 a year. When we left, we had a cap of 162,000 a year. There's 100,000 a month now.
Yeah.
100,000 a month coming in. We had the most ever last year, 500,000 a year. Now we're 100,000 a month. So if you're out there and you're wondering why, you know, trying to buy a house, or your kids are trying to buy a house.
They're trying to rent a property.
Trying to rent a property. Absolutely. Absolutely. Driving rent as well. You want to know one of the big drivers? Look, we've got to build a lot more houses. That's true. But at the same time, we've got to drop the number of people who are trying to buy these houses.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Absolutely. Let's look after those that are, you know, here already, and then we'll start bringing in as is necessary. And as I say, no issues with immigration. I wouldn't be here myself if it wasn't for it. But having said that, it's got to be done sensibly.
Well, the jury's still out on you, mate. But
well, that's a very good point. Hey, look, at least I don't need a pie with a knife and fork. Just finally, COATSA Proprietary Limited, our massive manufacturing plant out there at Charlton, and that's, you know, a great news story for our part of the world. Jobs, a wonderful, wonderful facility there, and great that they chose our part of the world to put it.
Mate, you know, as advanced as Toowoomba gets, you know, the great laneways, all the high-tech jobs that are coming here, we're still driven by agriculture.
Yep.
You know, and so when it rains, when the sun's shining, things are doing good, other businesses thrive. And this is a great example. These guys build silos, mobile silos now. And obviously, when agriculture's booming, it needs the silos. And here's a company that's come up from Victoria. It's investing here. We've got other companies that are competing with it already. So it's not like it's coming in. It knows what it's doing. It knows there's a lot of work going on here. They want a part of the action up here. And I think that's a great endorsement for our future, not just in ag, but in all the industries that support it.
Yep.
You know, the truck drivers, the boiler makers, heap of boys out there, boiler makers. Look, they're playing for Saints rugby. I tried to bring them around to Rangers, but we'll see how we go. But, you know, but all of them have great careers, great jobs in front of them, Lee. And look, it's important. What we do now is make sure they've got houses they can buy and get into.
100%. Garth Hamilton, federal member for Groom. Here's one for you. I know you like your Aussie rock. We'll finish with a bit of In Excess. Thanks for your time as always.
Fantastic.
Good on you, mate.